getting the message. Written by Tree People. Read by Hello Moon. Summary. Ever since they were teenagers, Stevie and Twyla have kept each other informed on the basics of their dating lives. Who, where, and when. It started in grade 8. Well, it really started in grade 6. That was the first year where they had a day when their health teacher, Mrs. Langill, split the class by gender and sent the boys to Mr. Webb for the afternoon. Stevie then spent the next 2 hours learning faintly horrifying things about organs she hadn't known she possessed from a woman old enough to be her grandmother. Grade 7 was similar. The boys went to Mr. Webb in the gym for their talk, and the girls stayed with Mrs. Langill and watched a vintage video where a cartoon sperm danced with a cartoon egg inside a cartoon uterus. Almost 25 years later, Stevie still got the song stuck in her head sometimes. When Mrs. Langill called on the boys to head to Mr. Webb on a rainy March day in grade 8, Stevie barely held in her groan. She wasn't sure what the purpose was for separating the boys from the girls for these talks, especially since it seemed that the dancing cartoon sperm had to come from somewhere. Plus, she had it on good authority, i.e. from Mutt, that the boys always just talked about condoms and masturbation for half an hour, then played shinny for the rest of the afternoon. Stevie resented the difference. Not that she was particularly interested in slapping a tennis ball around the gym with a too large hockey stick, but she was sure it would have been better than whatever it was that she was going to be forced to endure. She was right. Instead of a movie, the grade 8 talk featured an actual human being hailing from the Greater Elms Youth Club, which sounded lame, and was, by all accounts, even worse than it sounded. Said actual human being, Tiffany, but call me Tiff, had an entire presentation, complete with slideshow, interactive sections, and handouts dedicated to safety and dating and sex. Again, Stevie wondered why the boys got to skip out on this. She doubted there was an equivalent presentation happening in the gym. It did not endear Tiff to her. Near the end of the session, after a series of terrifying statistics, Tiff paired all the girls up and made them exchange phone numbers with their partner. When you go on a date, it's important to let someone know where you're going and with who, she crowed, beaming at the room of 13-year-olds like they weren't staring back with dead-on-the-inside eyes. And then you can call them when you get home, too. That way, if something goes wrong, someone knows where you are. If you don't want to tell your parents or another adult, tell your phone partner. Safety first. Stevie looked at her phone partner and frowned. Twyla shrugged and handed her the slip of paper with her phone number scrawled on it. That was, Stevie assumed, the last time either of them would think about the whole contrived mess. Which meant that she wasn't expecting it when Twyla called her about a month later, shy and quiet on the other end of the line, to tell her that she was going on a date with Jason Big at the cafe that evening, and would Stevie be around to take her home safe call at the end of the night too? So when people asked, which they rarely did, Stevie told them it started in grade 8. Stevie was pretty sure that she and Twyla were the only phone partners that lasted longer than the length of the presentation. Maybe, if she pushed her credulity, some others may have lasted until the end of the week. Yet, through the entirety of high school, despite being merely acquaintances who hung out with very different crowds of people, Stevie and Twyla dutifully called each other before and after every single date, and occasionally illicit parties. It probably said something about their respective home lives that they kept it up, unable or unwilling to turn that responsibility to their parents and/or guardians and/or adult relatives. Stevie didn't like to think about it, so she didn't. The first time Stevie spent the night at a guy's house, she was in grade 11 and she woke up to the realization that she'd forgotten to call Twyla with an update. She found his phone in the hallway leading to the kitchen and dialed Twyla's number from memory, rubbing sleep from her eyes and feeling a faint sense of gratification at the ache left over between her legs.
Hello?
Hi, Twyla, it's Stevie.
Oh my god, Stevie, are you okay?
Yes, I'm fine, I'm sorry. We went back to his place and, I forgot. I'm sorry, I'm fine.
Oh my god!
Twyla's voice was shaking.
I was so worried, I didn't know what to do.
Stevie felt like shit. I'm sorry, Twyla, really. This'll never happen again, okay? She twisted the coil of the phone cord around her finger, turning when she heard Harvey's bedroom door creak open. She waved the finger at him. I promise.
Okay.
Twyla took a deep breath, let it out slowly.
Okay. Call me when you actually get home?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, Twyla.
It's okay. Be safe.
I will. Thanks. Stevie figured it would stop after high school. They both got into their post-secondary institution of choice, Twyla to Annandale and Stevie to Fanshawe, and it felt like the natural time for something as tenuous as a single-note, externally orchestrated relationship to end. To her surprise, it didn't. They'd moved on to cell phones by that point, Nokias with T4 texting that took longer to type on than it would have to just call each other. They also stopped assuming the home safe would come that night, instead delaying their worry to the next morning. Stevie, Charlie Smith, his dorm, number 244, Falcon, 11 p.m. Twyla, okay. Stevie, home. Twyla, okay. Stevie, Kwame Anderson, Runt Club, 6 p.m. Twyla, LOL, I was just about to text you too. Twyla, Jeremy Avzel, Tony's, 7 p.m. Stevie, nice. Twyla, home. Stevie, home. Stevie, Kristoff, my dorm, number 301, Merlin, 12. Twyla, last name? Stevie, IDK, something German. Twyla, okay. Stevie, he's gone. Twyla, okay. Eventually, the slightly impersonal nature of texting, as compared to calling, allowed some extra bits of communication to work their way into what for years had been simply information sharing. Stevie, Dylan Weinacht, Canada's Wonderland, noon. Twyla, okay. Stevie, home, got heat stroke. Twyla, oh no, take a cold shower. Stevie, way ahead of you. Stevie, Billy Perrin, Don Cherry's in Stony Creek, 8 p.m. Twyla, okay. Stevie, home. Twyla, good time? Stevie, meh. Bad food, okay sex, not worth the drive. Twyla, LOL. Sorry to hear that. Twyla, Jacob Stone, Elm Grove County Fair, 10 a.m. Stevie, okay. Twyla, home. Stevie, that was fast. Twyla, why do they always think I'm Amish too? Stevie, it's that sunny disposition of yours. Stevie, Henry Galt, again, his place, 9 p.m. Twyla, what's his address? Stevie, IDK? Stevie, 3568 Highway 10. Stevie, Blue Bungalow. Stevie, sorry, I'm a little drunk. Twyla, just a little? Stevie, yeah. Stevie, not too drunk, don't worry. Twyla, okay, text when you get home. Stevie, yeah. Stevie, home. Twyla, Evan Lalonde, Antonio's, 7 p.m. Stevie, fancy. Twyla, yeah, I think he's hoping I'll put out. Stevie, I won't judge if you do. Twyla, home. Twyla, he was an asshole. Twyla, do not recommend. Stevie, I'll keep that in mind. It was a good system, Stevie had to admit, even if it had never been needed in the sense that Tiffany Call Me Tiff had implied all those years ago. It made Stevie feel safe, knowing that someone out there in the world would notice if she didn't come home. She hoped Twyla felt the same way. They never talked about it, sometimes when she went to the cafe and Twyla greeted her with her customer service smile and a menu. Stevie felt like she was living some sort of secret double life where she pretended not to know the relatively intimate details of Twyla's dating life, and Twyla pretended the same with her. It worked, but it was weird if she thought about it too hard. Similarly, they had never actually talked about what would happen when one of them started dating someone long-term. It was just silently agreed upon that when one of them got a boyfriend that lasted until they were actually called a boyfriend, the texting stopped from their side.
Twyla, yesterday, 9:43 p.m.
David Rose, the motel, RN, I guess? Sorry, I know you're like having a domestic with Mutt. My bad.
Today, 12:07 a.m.
Okay. You can always text me this sort of thing, Stevie, even if I don't see it right away, because I'm busy.
Today, 8:38 a.m.
Thanks. I'm home now. Okay.
Twyla, today, 3:12 p.m.
Grant Byers, Famous Curry, 7 p.m.
Today, 3:37 p.m.
Thumbs up emoji.
Today, 7:42 p.m.
Fuck, never mind. Add him to the douchebag list.
Today, 7:50 p.m.
Yikes. You okay? Yeah, just embarrassed.
Twyla, yesterday, 12:16 p.m.
Timothy Towns, Wobbly, 8 p.m. Oh, hey, I know him. He'll be fun. Good to know.
Yesterday, 9:22 a.m.
Home now. You're right.
Today, 9:51 a.m.
Question mark? He was fun. Winking face emoji. Rolling on the floor laughing emoji. The closest they got to talking about it was at one of Mutt's parties. They were drunk and high and eating jujubes out of a cup with some of the guys around back when one of them tried to corner Twyla. Stevie stepped in, playing up her intoxication, and efficiently extracted Twyla from the situation while mumbling something about needing to find their friends. It felt like a physical representation of the text. Stevie held Twyla's hand as they walked back into the barn, and Twyla squeezed right back. After that invisible barrier was crossed, something changed between them. It wasn't super obvious, not even to Stevie at first, but they started chatting more. At the cafe, over text, when they bumped into each other at the grocery store, whenever. After having been forced to act out some of the intimacy of their texting relationship in the real world, it felt natural to continue. Stevie started spending more time in the cafe, eating her meals in, instead of taking them out and lingering over a milkshake to talk to Twyla during the lulls. It wasn't a lot of time. She was still running herself off her feet at the motel, but it was something. She liked it.
Twyla, yesterday, 6:33 p.m.
Jake Reynolds, his place. That woodworking shop down by the creek, 8 p.m. Okay.
Today, 8:52 a.m.
Okay, at work and like wildly confused.
Today, 8:58 a.m.
Question mark, question mark, question mark. I'm the other woman. Or David is. IDK. Sounds complicated.
Twyla. Today, 4:42 p.m.
Jake. His place, 5 p.m. And for the love of God, let me recommend against regular sex with someone who is also having regular sex with your friend who happens to live with his parents at your place of work. Because the awkward encounter I just had with all of the roses when Jake came to pick me up was enough to kill me. Cry laughing emoji. You could always just stop. Fuck no, his dick is worth the awkward. LMAO. Let me know when you get home. OFC.
Twyla, today, 2:13 p.m.
Jake, the cafe, 7 p.m. I'll still be there. I'll keep out of your way. Nice, thanks.
Today, 8:07 p.m.
Well, that was a disaster.
Today, 8:56 p.m.
Sweat emoji. Stevie stopped texting about her meetups with Jake soon after that. He wasn't a boyfriend, sure, but she felt safe enough with him to not warn Twyla about their every hookup. There were a lot of them, after all. Twyla was the only other person in town who knew that she was actually seeing Jake, though, so just in case he did turn out to be some sort of wacko. Better safe than sorry. With Jake rather effectively filling her dance card, Stevie found herself texting Twyla less and less often. It was difficult to just pick up a conversation without the prompt of their date information to start it all, and she missed it. Missed her cheery banter about bad dates and good sex, and missed that warm feeling of knowing there was someone out there who cared if she came home at the end of the night. Twyla seemed to be going through a dry spell as well, which didn't help the texting situation. Stevie hadn't gone this long without a date alert from her since high school. It wasn't any of her business, of course, so she bit her tongue against her curiosity and tried to figure out how to text Twyla without talking about Jake's dick. Then she met Amir.
Twyla. Yesterday, 7:18 p.m.
Amir Kaplan, Motel, RN. I thought you didn't pick up at work. Yeah, but it's complicated. Okay.
Today, 8:22 a.m.
Home.
Today, 8:27 a.m.
Okay.
Twyla. Today, 3:32 p.m.
Amir Kaplan, Elm Valley Hotel, staying the night. But David's here too. Not like, here, not a threesome thing. As a friend slash lifeline thing in case things go sour. I'm glad you have David too, Stevie. Thanks.
Today, 5:40 p.m.
Fuck, never mind. Frowny face.
Today, 7:14 p.m.
Wait, never mind the never mind. Question mark, question mark. He showed up. Yay! Hooray, sex.
Twyla. Today, 12:28 p.m.
Francisco Fildeta, McMahon's, 1 p.m. Oh, the ice cream check is out already? That's early. I know. When I saw it, I suggested it for our date. Haha. Gotta get that moose tracks. Fuck yeah.
Today, 4:37 p.m.
Home. Full of moose tracks? Of course. Ice cream cone emoji, sundae emoji, sparkling heart emoji.
Twyla. Today, 9:13 a.m.
Amir Kaplan, various motels in the Elms. All weekend, potentially?
Today, 10:10 a.m.
Ooh, road trip. Yeah. I'll let you know the places we stay at each night. Sounds good.
Today, 2:21 p.m.
Never mind. Oh? Yeah. I'm a fucking idiot. You're not. You're amazing, and if you can't see that, that's his problem. Thanks, Twyla. Stevie licked her wounds at the cafe, perched on the same stool evening after evening. David called her a gargoyle, and she flipped him the bird while Twyla giggled and slid her a coffee refill. She was pretty sure she ended up trying just about every single possible version of the Meadow Harvest smoothie just by saying yes whenever Twyla offered. It was midway through a particularly gross example. What the fuck was spirulina, and why was it so green? But she realized that at some point in the last few years, this awkward and truly ancient relationship she had with Twyla had morphed into something that looked like a friendship. The thought made her smile around her straw. When Cabaret tumbled into their lives and swept them both away from any prospect of finding dates until it was over, Stevie was glad that it gave her and Twyla something else to talk about. For the first time, they texted regularly about things that didn't involve dates and check-ins, and Stevie felt that fact settle in around her shoulders like a hug.
Twyla, today, 7:14 p.m.
You did so well today, Stevie. You think so? I think I bombed. No, definitely not. You played Sally so well. You're radiant up there when you really get into character. Thanks. I don't think I've ever been called radiant before. That's a shame. You are.
Twyla, today, 8:46 p.m.
All that extra dancing practice you're putting in is really paying off, BT Dubs. You're looking great. Oh, thanks, Stevie. It's so hard, but I'm glad I'm improving. You really are.
Twyla, today, 4:39 p.m.
How are the secret dance lessons going? Apparently not as secretly as I thought. Who told you? David. Cry laughing emoji. He's cranky about not having anyone to talk to anymore. It's his own fault. He could have joined the cast any time and been surrounded by our delightful company all day, every day. I really like that part of it. I like getting closer with everyone. Yeah, it's okay. What's this? Stevie Carolyn Budd admitting to enjoying other people's company? Call the papers. Middle finger emoji. Kissy face emoji. During their last dress rehearsal before opening night, Stevie was in the wings watching as Alexis and Twyla danced under the spotlight with Patrick, and she realized that her eyes kept finding their way back to Twyla, and her sultry smile, and her smoky eyes, and her fishnetted legs. Over and over again. Well, that was new. After cabaret wrapped and Stevie had the time to deal with her midlife crisis about what the fuck she was actually doing, she came to a number of conclusions. Firstly, something had to change. Her job, her home, her outlook, her approach to relationships, whatever, just something. Secondly, she kind of wanted that change to involve Twyla. And by kinda, she meant really. And that was a bit of a shock. Which led to the third thing. She was pretty sure she had a crush on Twyla. Unfortunately, she also had literally no idea what to do with that sort of information, especially since Stevie had never known Twyla to show any interest in A, women in general, or B, Stevie in particular. It was a conundrum that was solved rather effectively, if inadvertently, by Twyla herself only a month later.
Twyla. Today, 3:32 p.m.
Heather Warner, Elmdale Art House, 4 p.m. Stevie stared at that text, at that name and the gender it implied, for a very long time before responding.
Today, 3:46 p.m.
Like, Ted's Heather? She's her own Heather, Stevie. But yes. I didn't know you dated women. I didn't. I'm exploring something new. Nice. Let me know when you get home. Thanks, Stevie. Stevie had some thinking to do. Twyla went on two more dates with Heather, one to a fancy restaurant in Elmdale, and one to St. Jacob's Market. But no matter how often Stevie sat around at the cafe and talked to her about nothing and everything, she didn't bring up the dates. Nothing. Not a whisper of this new path she'd taken in her dating life, and it was driving Stevie up the wall. But when Patrick asked her to help him with some of the catering logistics for the wedding, Stevie immediately and unthinkingly asked Twyla whether they could meet up on a Saturday evening to hammer out the details.
Twyla.
Oh shit, unless you're seeing Heather. If you're busy, I can totally figure this out on my own. Oh, no, we're not seeing each other anymore. Oh, sorry. I wasn't sure which way the lack of date alerts was indicating. Thanks, but it's okay. It just didn't work out. I think we both had our minds in other places, you know? Stuff just doesn't work sometimes, and that's okay. True. Sorry anyway. Thanks, Stevie. Sparkling heart emoji. If asked, Stevie would deny to her dying breath spending more than 30 seconds wondering what other places could possibly be referring to. She'd be lying, of course, but no one had to know that. Stevie had the text pre-written in her notes app for a solid week before she sent it, opening it and overthinking it and editing it and closing it 50,000 times a day until David Snipply asked if she had another cell phone boyfriend. She almost didn't tell him, worried that she'd steal his pre-wedding thunder or he'd dismiss her as being sarcastic. But tell him she did, in a quiet voice that she almost didn't recognize in herself, and his eyes went shiny and wet, and he told her that he was proud of her. She punched him in the arm and pretended her eyes weren't just as shiny and wet.
Twyla. Today. 12:24 p.m.
Twyla Sands, Meg Mahones, and then the drive-in, 6 p.m. Her heart was in her throat. It was too late to delete the message, but not, she reasoned, too late to claim insanity. Her phone pinged.
Twyla. Today. 12:25 p.m.
It's a date. Heart eye emoji. And it was. The end.